Part 2. Black Kabluna. Chapter 35. Summer was waiting at the dock when she spotted Trevor's boat motoring across the harbor. She wore a tight-fitting saffron-colored sweater, which accentuated the radiant red hair that dangled loose beneath her shoulders. Her gray eyes softened as the boat approached the dock, and Trevor leaned out the wheelhouse and waved. "Going my way, sailor?" she asked with a grin. "If I wasn't before, I am now," he replied with an approving look. He reached up and gave Summer a hand as she climbed onto the boat. "Where's Dirk?" he asked. "His head was still pounding this morning, so he took some aspirin and went back to bed." Trevor shoved the boat away from the pier and motored past the municipal dock before turning into the harbor. Had he glanced at the dock's small dirt parking lot, he might have noticed a sharp-dressed man sitting in a brown jeep observing their departure. "Did you finish your inspection this morning?" Summer asked as they cruised past a heavily loaded lumber ship. "Yes, the aluminum smelter is just looking at a minor expansion of their receiving yard. Mandatory environmental impact statement sort of stuff." He looked at Summer with a twisted grin. "I was relieved not to find the police waiting for me at the boat this morning." "I doubt anybody saw you at the Terra Green facility. It's Dirk and me who are most likely to end up on a wanted poster at the Kitimat post office," she replied with an uneasy laugh. "I'm sure the plant security is not going to file a report with the police. After all, as far as they know, they're responsible for Dirk's murder." "Unless a surveillance camera caught you fishing him out alive." "In which case, we're all in a bit of trouble." He turned and gave Summer a concerned look. "Maybe it would be a good idea if you and Dirk kept a low profile around town. A tall, gorgeous redhead tends to stand out in Kitimat." Rather than blush, Summer moved closer to Trevor and looked deep into his eyes. He let go of the boat's wheel and slipped his arms around her waist, drawing her tight. Returning her gaze, he kissed her once, long and passionately. "I don't want anything to happen to you," he whispered. The pilot of a small freighter passing the other way happened to witness the embrace and blew his horn at the two. Trevor casually released one hand and waved at the freighter, then retook the wheel. Sailing briskly down Douglas Channel, he kept his other arm locked tightly around Summer's thin waist. The turquoise Numa boat was moored as they had left it, and Summer quickly had the vessel underway. The two boats playfully raced each other back to Kitimat, passing far around the Terra Green facility without incident. They had just tied up at the municipal pier when Dirk came rambling down the dock. His gait was slow, and he wore a baseball cap to cover the bandage across his skull. "How's the head?" Trevor inquired. "Better," Dirk replied. "The pounding has gone down from dynamite to sledgehammer strength. The bells of St. Mary's are still ringing loud and clear, though." Summer finished tying up the Numa boat and walked over to the two men with a thick case in her hand. "You ready to get to work?" she asked. "The water samples," Trevor said. "Yes, the water samples," she replied, holding up the Kitimat Municipal Pool water analyzing kit. She stepped onto Trevor's boat and helped gather up the water samples taken the night before. Dirk and Trevor took a seat on the gunwale as Summer opened the test kit and began checking the acidity of the water samples. "I'm showing a pH of 8.1, she said after testing the first sample. "The acidity is just a hair above the levels in the surrounding waters, but not significant." She proceeded to test all of her water samples and then the vials collected by Trevor. The results were nearly uniform for each vial tested. As she checked the results of the last sample, a defeated look crossed her face. "Again, the pH level is reading about 8.1. Remarkably, the water around the Terra Green facility shows no abnormal levels of acidity." "That seems to blow our theory that the plant is dumping carbon dioxide," Trevor said. "A gold star from Mitchell Goyette," Dirk said sarcastically. "I can't help but wonder about the tanker ship," Summer said. Trevor gave her a quizzical look. "We got sidetracked and couldn't prove it, but Dirk and I both thought the tanker might be taking on CO2 rather than unloading it."
"Doesn't make much sense, unless they're transporting it to another sequestration facility, or are dumping it at sea." Before trailing a tanker halfway around the world, I think we need to take another look at the site where we measured the extreme water acidity, Summer said. And that's Hecate Strait. We've got the gear to investigate, she added, motioning towards the Numa boat. Right, Dirk agreed. We need to look at the seabed off Gill Island. The answer has to lie there. Can you stay and conduct a survey? Trevor asked with a hopeful tone. Dirk looked at Summer. I received a call from the Seattle office. They need the boat back by the end of the week for some work in Puget Sound. We can stay two more days, then we'll have to hit the road. That will allow us time to examine a good chunk of territory off Gill Island, Summer said. Let's plan for an early start tomorrow. Will you be able to join us, Trevor? It was her turn to give a hopeful look. I wouldn't miss it, he replied happily. As they were leaving the dock together, the brown Jeep with a rental agency sticker on its bumper cruised slowly along the adjacent roadway. The driver stopped briefly at a clearing which gave an unobstructed view of the municipal dock and harbor. Behind the wheel, Clay Zack gazed out the windshield, studying the two boats at the end of the dock tied up one behind the other. He nodded to himself, then continued driving slowly down the road.